Chapter 4. Happiness is not a permanent state. Make room for glimpses of happiness. As a psychologist, I can make a difference to people who are not doing well. But it is important to remember that we cannot achieve a constant state of happiness. And even the best psychologists cannot remove the pain that life also entails. Measurements are made on the world's happiest people, and the Danes have been high on the list for many years. Without going into the premises of this study, I would like to challenge the use of the word happiness. Denmark is perhaps more content than any other nation, but this only has little to do with happiness, because happiness belongs to another level than contentment does. Happiness comes in glimpses. It can be for a few seconds and is entirely individual. You can be overwhelmed by happiness, but you cannot be constantly happy. A birth or winning a lottery of $10 million can make you happy for days or weeks, but you cannot go around being happy all the time. I can remember a brush with happiness while on a trip to Thailand with my children. It was raining non-stop, and there were huge floods everywhere. My children and I sought refuge in a restaurant while dirty water streamed by outside. And suddenly, while I sat and looked at my children, I was overwhelmed by a feeling of warmth, love, and a fantastic feeling of happiness. It only lasted for a few minutes, but it was intense. This brief, fleeting feeling I experienced is not something we can aspire to. On the other hand, we can try to give happiness the best living conditions, because there is a greater chance that happy moments can strike when we are mentally relaxed. Happiness comes when you do not run after it, when you're not thinking about it, but are just being in the moment. Rules and norms. There are societies where people are more content, but not necessarily happier. They are content because a more secure society has been created. Happiness arises when you can remove yourself from the psychological rigidity that many have learned to adapt to. In other words, all the rules and norms we place on ourselves and others without questioning them that make us stressed and frustrated. Because where is there space for life and the moments when we just let life happen? These moments are when happiness has a chance to emerge. If you overthink things, if you plan a lot, and if you psychologize a lot, you remove yourself from life and shut yourself down from the moments of happiness that might otherwise come your way. The moment when there are too many thoughts in your head and you fail to distance yourself from them, you are not being a part of what is right in front of you. A part of being human also means pain, particularly if we have relationships. Most of us have relationships in the form of family, friends, acquaintances, work colleagues, neighbors, etc. And already there, we are vulnerable because we are either affected by others or we ourselves also affect others. Human beings sometimes struggle under conditions that we can never change, and therefore, there is no reason to make even stricter rules for ourselves. Having an influence on our lives comes from learning to relate differently to what is. And just as soon as we realize that we have that kind of influence on our own lives, we can act and move on. So what can you do about the conditions that exist right now? And how can you make room for that fleeting happiness? Mental flexibility. Even if we do our best to try to make the best life possible under the different circumstances we find ourselves in, the outcome is not always what we had hoped for. Sometimes things do not happen as we had thought they would. In these cases, creativity and mental flexibility are key, because creativity makes it easier to find ways to best adapt to new circumstances and be flexible. I meet a lot of women in my practice whose dreams about husband, children, a career, and a house with a small garden have not come true. For them, it is important to be able to change tracks and use a different strategy from the one they have been using. The dream of having children does not have to be stopped by the fact that they have not found their life partner yet. And maybe it is not so important to live in a house if an apartment is just what they need right now. Love and security can come in many different forms. Stop and ask yourself the question, what is it that I really want? It requires flexibility to be able to answer the question, what will I regret in 10 years if it does not happen? That I didn't have children or that I don't have a partner? These are questions about life values and whether you are willing to postpone the dream of having a family and wait for your life partner until you're 80, when you meet at the coffee machine in the nursing home, or whether the dream about having children is so important that action must be taken now. There is no point in merging with your own ideas about how life should be. Creativity and flexibility are also about adapting and finding the next best solution. Separate yourself from your thoughts. Making room for those fleeting experiences of happiness is not just about changing your behavior, whether you are going to relax on the couch with a good book or travel to exotic countries. This is where metacognitive therapy comes in, because thoughts are running all the time. Thoughts about everything. When will I find time to answer my emails? I must also prepare my presentation for a meeting on Tuesday. The other children can play the violin, and my son has been going to violin lessons for a year and still can't play just as well as the others. Most people I know have their lives together. Mine is chaotic. I can never do it just as well as others either. You need to distance yourself from these thoughts. And if you can do so, you can achieve mental relaxation. This state is called detached mindfulness. Wells, 2009, Chapter 5. And this means that you do not have to relate to everything that is running around in your head. Thoughts have a life of their own, like a kind of parallel track. But how can you learn not to relate to these thoughts? I usually use this example. Imagine that your neighbor is playing music so loud that it feels like you are sitting right next to the speaker. You have tried everything that you can think of. You have knocked on the door, you've talked with the police, and there is nothing that can be done. The noise continues. Now, you can do two things. One is to call friends and tell them about the noise and how awful it is to live there, directing all your attention toward the noise. What will happen to the noise? It will increase, because it is the focus and fills your whole consciousness. Alternatively, you can tell yourself that you have done what is in your power to do, and you cannot do anything more. You turn on your computer and watch a movie, or you can pick up a book and lie down on the couch. Then there will be moments when you will not hear the noise. In which of these two situations would it be best and easiest for you to be in? Is it when you constantly focus your attention on the audio track? Or when you accept that there is some noise running in the background? It is the same with thoughts, because thoughts can also be like an audio track rumbling along. But you do not have to give them your full attention or let them control you. You have thoughts, and you have had thoughts, and you will continue to have thoughts. But you are not your thoughts.